Alejandro Escovedo has been a punk alt-country before alt-country was cool, and one of our most revered singer-songwriters. He's a survivor in a musical sense, and after his grueling last few years struggling with hepatitis C in the literal sense. His new album is called The Boxing Mirror, and it's his first album of new music in 5 years. It is a celebration of his return from near death. Today we'll hear songs from the new album performed live on stage at World Cafe Live and a remarkable conversation with Alejandro and the cafe's Michaela Majun. Michaela began by asking Alejandro about coming close to death and if he had any warning.
Well, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C in 96 or 7. And at that time, none of the doctors that I went to see could give me any sort of real definite kind of program to go on or treatment to go on. And I remember my doctor telling me, I'm going to tell you what I tell my AIDS patients, and that's that you should just go out and live the best life that you can. So at that point, I was very down, depressed, wasn't quite sure what the future looked like. And the more I read about hepatitis C, the more frightened I became as a result of all this information. Then at one point, I finally just started to work again. And I just kind of pursued my career, pursued playing music. And that's what started kind of like this, kind of like I thought moderation is the way to do this. I'll have a glass of wine with dinner. And that turned into the lifestyle. Once Buick McCain hit the road, it was kind of over.
Your heavy rocking, yeah, hard-living
band.
My
hard rock band. Then at one point, after A Man Under the Influence, we did a tour which took us through the South where we were going to do demos with Chris Stamey. After immediately going back to Austin, I went to Arizona, and I was performing By the Hand of the Father there, where my body completely broke down, and I was, I was bleeding internally in three different places, and I was rushed to the emergency room, and I was in the hospital there for about a week and a half, I think, and then spent the better part of a month in the desert in Arizona with my wife and our baby, who was about 6 months old at the time. And we spent a lot of time walking in the desert, meditating, and just trying to figure out what we were going to do. It was a very dark period, you know. And so we finally got back to Austin. And that began the search for a doctor who didn't want to just cut me open, you know. And we found one finally in Dallas through a friend of mine. He found this doctor for me. And he was a leading research doctor in Texas, and actually in the United States, on liver research. So he became my doctor, and he had a plan, and the plan was to, we already knew that my liver was messed up, and so his idea was to combat the disease itself, and then we would deal with whatever the results were as far as my liver, what condition my liver was in later. And so that began what was going to be a year of taking this interferon ribavirin, or to a year and a half, and I only lasted 6 months, because at the end of 6 months, this treatment was so intense that it's like chemo light, really, in a way, a lighter form of chemo. It was eating away my bone marrow, and I had no red blood cells or white blood cells, so I was once again on facing death, and I couldn't get out of bed, and that's when my wife and I decided to discontinue this treatment, and we began Tibetan medicine, we began acupuncture, and we began a series of, massage and, you know, just really trying to kind of like holistically cure. I was trying to cure myself, and Tibetan medicine has been wonderful. It's turned my health around. There was a point after I stopped taking the interferon where I didn't have the disease in my system or they couldn't find it, but it has come back, and now it's just a matter of managing it. But through Tibetan medicine, I think it's a very doable project.
Yeah. Excuse me. And you had to make some other changes in your life, right? You had to quit drinking?
I had to quit drinking. My doctor told me it was either drink or die. that was an easy choice for me to make, you know. So I quit drinking, and I, you know, there was obviously at that point, there was no future in playing music at that point. It was a matter of what was most evident was that I had to get better. And if I could survive the disease, then I could possibly play music. But that was the last thing on my mind. It was really about trying somehow to survive this thing that could kill me.
It's impossible to imagine you without you playing music. I mean, even though you could imagine it yourself.
Well, it was very difficult. I mean, because, you know, not only is that medicine completely debilitating in some cases, but psychologically it really messes with you. And so I was at this very kind of depressed and almost hopeless state. I had to examine who I was, because if I wasn't this musician, which I had done for so long, 27 years at that point, then who was I, you know? And the medicine was so kind of mind-boggling and mind-twisting that I couldn't even be like a good father at the time, because it's, you know, leads to a lot of erratic behavior and kind of personality changes that come unexpectedly. And so there was a lot that I had to face, and you know, I had to do it myself. And it was through, I think my wife was really the anchor, because she was a practicing Buddhist, and she introduced me to Buddhism. And it was through Buddhism that I really started to find a center, you know, something to really feel strong about. And it was through that that I think kind of really motivated me to want to get better, that I knew I could get better, gave me the determination.
Alejandro Escovedo is our guest today. His new CD is called The Boxing Mirror, and we're going to hear some of the songs in live performance on stage. And I guess since Arizona was the place where the beginning of the end of the beginning happened to you, let's start with that song. What do you want to say about it before we hear it?
Well, Arizona is obviously a song that centers on where I was when I became ill. But it's also a very significant place in that it's where I met my wife. She was teaching at Arizona State University.
Teaching poetry?
Poetry and creative writing. And it's where I met her. And she changed my life. And then what we went through, it's interesting that Arizona was where my body broke down, because her family was there, she was there, my sisters had just happened to come in from California, they were there. I was about to leave 2 days later for Norway. Had I gone on that plane and this had happened, it would have been a totally different story. So it was very significant place, magical place. The desert was beautiful. It gave me a lot of space and, you know, a lot of inspiration. So that's why Arizona is real important. It also speaks of, like we spoke of earlier, all the things that I had to leave behind. You know, have another drink on me. I've been empty since Arizona. But the emptiness is also the emptiness in Buddhism also, you know.
And you say, I turned my back on me.
I turned my back on me, and I
faced the face. In a sense, you became a new person.
Yeah, you know, I had to come to terms with who I had been, the things I had done as a result of the lifestyle, and then kind of re-examine that and really kind of chose a different kind of path as to what I wanted to become, you know.
Okay, we're going to hear Arizona with Alejandro Escovedo and band on stage at World Cafe Live on the World Cafe.
Thank you.
Alejandro Escovedo and his wonderful band with Arizona, one of the songs on the new album, The Boxing Mirror, on today's World Cafe. You mentioned, Alejandro, that your wife is a poet, and I know that she co-wrote some of the songs on the CD. How much has she influenced you? You said she influenced your direction in life because you embraced Buddhism.
Right.
How about your music?
Well, in my music, I think lyrically, she wrote the Dear Head on the Wall was one of her poems. Notes on Air was one of her poems. And then The Boxing Mirror was a poem that she had written with my father and myself in mind. Actually, when she started to write it, you know, she's a very free writer. And so suddenly it began to take shape, and she realized that it was about my father and myself, you know. And the character, Leo Cantón, is like my father, and I'm the son in the song. And so when it came time to do that particular song, I didn't have the words in front of me. But Chunk Hill was so anxious to begin recording that song that I had to ad-lib the words. So I had like the key phrases in my head that she had written, but But then I ad-libbed the rest of it. And that performance that you hear of the Boxing Mirror is that just complete first performance of that song. But her writing is interesting to me because it's completely different than what the way I write. It's not narrative writing. It's very free and open. But the images are so strong. And I get such an emotional thing from her and her writing that I can relate to it very easily. And the other beautiful part of it is that it's her words, so I get to sing her words. I feel closer to her as I'm singing her words. And so it's turned out to be something that has really changed the way I write, I think, as a result of, you know, I think she's a superior writer to myself. And so it's really inspired me to kind of like break away from the straight narrative kind of writing that I used to do. And I think it's helped me in many ways.
And I think it shows on this album,
certainly. I think
certainly.
So, too, yeah.
Well, one of the songs which you mentioned was Dear Head on the Wall, which started out as... And by the way, let's give her a name.
Oh, her name is Kim Kristoff. I'm sorry. My wife's name is Kim Kristoff.
Let's hear Dear Head on the Wall. And that's D-E-A-R, Dear Head
yes,
on the
dear
Wall.
Yes, Dear Head, yes.
And we can talk about it after we listen to this song.
All right.
That's our performance today on the World Cafe of Dear Head on the Wall, one of the many wonderful songs on the new Alejandro Escovedo album, The Boxing Mirror. and co-written with his wife, Kim Kristoff.
That's right.
Starting out as a poem. A pity pretty pin.
Yeah.
That's an extraordinary phrase that the song ends with.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue what it means, but...
Well, I think I'll tell you where she was, what inspired the poem. She lived in a trailer in the desert in Arizona, and she spent most of her time writing poetry and meditating. And when we met, we fell completely in love with each other. And she would go to a steakhouse that was down the road to get better reception on her cell phone to call me, or I would call her. And this steakhouse had nothing but taxidermy heads all around, deer heads. And so she was sitting there looking into these empty eyes and this empty mouth and this beautiful, you know, thing that had been a deer, you know. And she began this poem, you know. And the pity pretty pin, I believe, is like a taxidermy pin, you know. And that's my interpretation. It may not be hers, but I feel like the poem, to me, relates a lot to Buddhism, to me. It's about the emptiness, you know, that we aspire to, you know, the clarity and the reincarnation. You know, so that's what I read from it. And, you know, and also not to have the fear of death, you know, which is important for us, you know.
More conversation and performance from Alejandro Escovedo, including Alejandro talking about his dad, when we return to the World Cafe. Alejandro Escovedo is our guest today. More performance and his conversation with the Cafe's Michaela Majun.
There's so much pain and reference to death on this CD, which is not surprising. I mean, considering what you've been through. In fact, the word pain recurs in a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
And another recurring presence is, in all of your work, actually, is your father.
Right.
I know he was a boxer, and here we have the boxing mirror.
Right.
Was he a larger-than-life person?
He was to me. And, you know, I've told this story so many times, but, you know, my father was born in a little town in northern Mexico, a little village, really, Saltillo, Mexico, in the state of Coahuila, and he was born in 1907, and he did a lot of things, you know. He went from being this young boy who was left by his parents. His parents left him to go find work in Texas as migrants. And he was left to be raised by his grandparents. And age of 12, he hops a train to look for his parents, you know. And that started a journey that took him through so much. I mean, it was very a perilous journey to cross in those days. There were ranchers, there were, you know, bandidos, there was all sorts of dangers on the road then. And so he made his way to San Antonio, found that his parents were just in this little town called Luling, picking watermelons at the time. Found that his father was abusive. He ran away at the age of 16 and went west. And he sang in work camps, was a prize fighter during the Depression, had 12 kids, 8 of which are professional musicians. And he's just always a really loving guy and a very, very happy human being, you know. So he was just a huge influence on me, you know. It's like he taught me how to throw curveball, you know, bought me my first guitar, even though I dismantled it and didn't play it, you know. But, it, you know, I went to boxing matches with him all the time. I used to drive with him from Southern California to Northern California. We'd listen to the radio, and he'd talk to me about music and why he liked certain singers and why he didn't care for certain things. And, you know, he bought me my first Beatle records and stuff, you know. So it's like, you know, he's just a great guy, you know.
So he made sure to be a part of your life in the way that he didn't have with his father.
I think so, and I think also with, you know, with my older brothers, they have a different mother. And so I think with them, he realized that he had to be different as a father when he had us. And I was the first of his new family in a way. And it was good times, you know, it was a great period of time. It was when we had moved from Texas to California in late 57, 58. You know, the first time we went to the beach was the first time we'd ever seen it, the ocean. And we're all dressed up in our suits and stuff, you know, like we're going to church or something on Sunday. And he was just, you know, that kind of guy. He was just a very special kind of guy. And I feel very lucky to just have known him, you know.
Alejandro Escovedo is here with us today on the World Cafe. Considering, you know, how your father got a foothold in this country, how do you feel about the current debate about the immigration laws?
Well, I think that my father's story is a perfect example of someone who came from poverty, came from a impoverished land looking for better things, you know. And it's obvious that he didn't come here to sell drugs or, you know, have a life of crime. He came here to look for a future. And that line, that supposed line, that border, was not, it was an invisible line, because Texas was Mexico, California was Mexico, Arizona was Mexico. And so he came and he established himself and he did everything he could. He worked hard, honest work, 60 hours a week, to raise his family. And, you know, eight of us are professional musicians. He gave a lot to American culture as a result, you know. So I think he's a fine example of why this immigration, building a wall between these countries is just absurd. And to pinpoint Mexicans as the problem is racist, in my opinion. And so, you know, I always think of my dad and his family and all the hard work that they did. And I see that it's not just a story of Mexicans. It's a story of Italians, Irish, you know, Germans, you know, just everyone who came here into this country. We all came for the same reason. But the difference is that these people, these Mexican people, these Indian people, these Native Americans were here to begin with, you know. And then to say that they're not allowed to come back is like, it's just absurd to me.
Excuse me. When did your father die?
He died 2 years ago.
So, wow. So in the middle of dealing with all of this.
He died in the midst of my treatment, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It was rough.
I'm sure. And you wrote a beautiful song, Evita's Lullaby.
That's the first song I wrote after his funeral.
And it's addressed to him, but it's a lullaby for her, your mother.
For my mother, yeah. It's like it's me. It's through my voice, speaking to my father who's passed away, and reminding him of what the most vivid memory I have of them together, my mother and father, is of them dancing. And so it's reminding him of those beautiful times. Like, you know, when you're a kid and you watch your parents dance, I think it's such a beautiful image, you know, and it's such a beautiful feeling. I remember those so vividly. And so it's kind of reminding him of those times and reminding him of how much my mother loves him still and how my mother's life is kind of adrift until she's reunited with him again. Because they were married for over 60 years. And so that is what the song is about. And it's for her because she's having, I think, a very difficult time. And I don't think that she'll be content until she is with him again, you know.
We're going to hear Evita's Lullaby on the World Cafe.
Mm-hmm. close now. Don't let her go now. Take her with you where you sleep. Whisper, tell her what it feels like to be empty, to be free. Where you sleep now, where you sleep.
That was Evita's Lullaby, our World Cafe performance today with Alejandro Escovedo and his great band, the touring band, a song that's also on the new CD, The Boxing Mirror.
Yeah.
People who have difficult diseases to deal with, like AIDS or cancer, mm-hmm. Sometimes say that it's been a blessing having the condition. Do you feel that in some ways there's been a lot of positive result?
Absolutely.
Of your hepatitis.
Without a doubt. Without having gone through that experience, I'd be a completely different person at this point. And I don't think that I would have been as aware of everything that I was going through and what I was doing. I don't think I'd have as much respect and love for friends and family. I don't think I'd have as much love and respect for the music. It brought everything into sharper focus, and I wouldn't trade that experience, even though it was completely harrowing and scary and, you know, just physically horrible. I wouldn't trade it for anything because I learned so much from that, and I'm still learning so much from it. And I think I will until the day that I die, you know.
Well, it's wonderful to see you on the other side of all that.
Oh, thanks.
And to have
it's
these
good to be here.
Wonderful new songs and this great new CD.
Thanks.
And
thank you very much. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too, Alejandro.
Once again, thanks to Alejandro Escovedo and to Michaela Majun. Alejandro's new album is called The Boxing Mirror. It's at our website at worldcafe.npr.org at our CD store.